Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good evening, everybody. Good night, or maybe you're listening to this on Saturday morning. So good morning. This is the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos, fresh from cottaging up in Muskoka land. It is Bob Mackwitz. How you doing, Bob?
Doing pretty good, Matt. Once again, I hate to do this to you, but I wasn't cottaging because we have a rental unit, so yeah. Not a cottage.
Well, you own it.
And also, you own we're in the Kawarthas and not the Muskokas. So
wait, weren't you in Huntsville?
Yeah.
Okay, Huntsville is 15 minutes north of Muskoka.
Yeah, but it's in the Kawarthas.
Yeah, you know, you can call it that.
I'm not saying you're projecting onto me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you would do that.
No. I think it's great. How was it?
It's always nice.
Yeah.
It's always nice. I saw deer.
Did they run away?
We kind of had that moment where you lock eyes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the deer looked deep inside my soul and then ran in the other direction, proving deer are smart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But they're cowardly. Let's also face it.
They're kind of sucky.
Cowardly. Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, and I hated to do it, but I kind of imagined it as venison.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you as well? I do that, but I do that just to piss off Amy. Well, I'm like, oh, look at the venison. And she gets angry because deer look so cute.
They are beautiful
and
creatures.
Tasty.
Elegant and wonderful and peaceful and delicious.
Yeah. So you complained that or say, nope, we talk too much trash before I get to sports. Mm-hmm. So in a little bit,
I didn't complain.
No.
Last time I mentioned perhaps that we were testing the patience of our audience by getting 9 or 10 minutes into the pod before we even talked sports.
Okay, well, we're going to get back into cottages, venison, Panda Day, and elevators because you have a metaphor for how elevators are like modern society.
Do you want to just drop it now and then we can move on?
No. We're going to do something.
It's not that great.
We're going to start with some sports first. Here's what we're going to start with. You walk in and Texas, Nevada is going on. And immediately you get into it about the NCAA tournament.
It's knotted at 68. Now it's going to OT.
It's going to overtime.
That's time stamping this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. How many college basketball players can you name? And I'll start just to show the embarrassment. I can name two.
Yeah, probably a bunch.
I can name Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
And I can name Trey Young, who got knocked out, Oklahoma. Right. They were the first team to lose in the
DeAndre
madness.
DeAndre Ayton, Bagley from Duke.
Yeah.
Michael Porter.
Yeah. Who's Michael Porter? You could have made that name up.
He's a real guy. He plays for Missouri.
Okay. Because I know Otto Porter. He plays for the Wizards. But the point is, when you filled out your bracket, I fill out mine with the same level of casualness as when I pretend to read the agreement with iTunes and I just skip to the bottom, click I agree, and then continue. Like, that is the level that I do. I'm like, all right, there. So how much research did you do?
I didn't do that much. I tend to listen to more draft podcasts because I'm really curious to see who's going to go because I'm, you know, draft nerd, right? Like, you're a draft nerd, I'm a draft nerd. But the thing is, it's hard to really engage in the nerdery unless you watch the regular season. Like, you watch college football.
Yeah.
You used to watch it a lot.
I used to watch it a lot. I'm 42. I don't watch as much as I used to.
You know, James Duthie, the great broadcaster from TSN, has a theory, which is with every kid, you lose a sport.
Yeah.
You just don't have the same amount of time. And I think it's probably equally true of decades. With every decade you gain in life, you lose a sport.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
So you lost college football along the way.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I don't watch nearly as much. I watch bowl games and not all the bowl games, a couple of the bowl games. And if I'm at home and there's that big game, you know, that Notre Dame USC game, then it'll be at least a primary flip option.
That's it. You're right. Actually, it's the picture in picture.
Yeah.
Right. It's the previous channel selection. Okay, my tea's going.
Your tea's going.
You filibuster. Okay, I'll get my tea.
Filibuster. Yeah. I got Bob some tea, and what I really felt bad for Bob.
Dramatic kettle.
I know that kettle. That kettle's no BS. What I felt bad for Bob is like, do you got any food? And I really don't. But we do have. But you can't have any. You're on one of your diets, or there's some Ukrainian thing, or whatever's going on. We got some bread. Buffalo Phil sent us some Ukrainian bread.
How the hell does this kettle work? Oh, there we go.
What do you mean, how the hell does this kettle work? You open the lid and you pour in. I don't know how difficult that is. But I felt bad. I had no food to give to Bob, even like almonds or something simple. So what was that bread, that buffalo?
It's called Pascha.
It looks great. Like, I tried some the other day.
Pascha is wonderful.
I warmed it up, put some butter on it, like Buffalo Phil said. It was delicious, but you can't have any right now? What's going on?
You know me and my cleanses.
Okay.
It's Lent. It gives me a psychological edge. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end.
The end's the key part.
The end is the key part. And also, it ends on Easter Day.
Yeah.
Right? Easter Sunday. So you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be up to my eyes in ham.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be...
I'm going to be wearing ham muffs over my ears.
More than that. And by the way, now we're already recycling the topic, which we'll also be doing, but it's about food, so it's our favorite thing to talk about, is when it's time for leftovers, your eyes are going to dart to the left and the right to see who's watching. How much can I pile on here without eyes of shame on my plate?
You know, Matt, I don't know if you know my family, but that's not a concern. Remember my mother-in-law standing over top of me with ice cream while I slept?
Yeah, I'm not worried about your parents or your parents-in-laws or anything like that. But Sandra, you're going to keep an eye so Sandra's not looking.
You know, I've been with her for 20 years. She's seen some pretty shameful performances.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything I could do on Easter that would shock her.
Yeah.
Mrs. Simpson, I ask you, where did you go next?
We went
fishing. I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, does that sound like the actions of a man who had all he could eat?
I miss Phil Hartman.
That was a long Simpsons reference. Thanks for everyone to wade through that.
NCAA tournament's going on. You were listening to podcasts. You try to keep up. And we're talking then, as years go by and decades go by, you just can't be into all sports the same way. It's impossible. And by the way, if any of my friends, if they have kids, and if they still watch sports as much as they did when they were 25, I'd be like, you're a bad dad. You're a bad dad. What are you doing? You know, what are you doing? If you can name the starting front court of half the teams of the ACC in college basketball and you have children, you're a bad parent.
Fair. That is probably true.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned friends, though, because I think friends and sports operate on the same frequency in the sense that when you're younger, you tend to immerse yourself in both and they become kind of a big part of your life. And then as you get a little further, you're a little bit more selective about both and get a little further even down the road. And now you're just losing people left, right, and center. And it's hard as you get older to get jazzed about sports in the same way you did when you were 18. One, because when you're 18, you're not having sex.
Yeah.
And that's
speak for yourself.
Okay.
Ow! Well, high five.
Matches. Right. High five the air.
High five in angels. 1,000 angels in the air. Tina Fey reference. 30 Rock.
But so, yes. And then the funny thing is actually when you have kids is it kind of brings you back in because you start seeing the world through their eyes again. Mm-hmm. And now you're starting to hang around all the parents who are at the rink or the diamond or whatever. And so it kind of gets you back into it. But the truth is you never have that love the way you did when you were young.
Nope.
You just can't do it.
I got to tell you, like, I have such fond memories of March Madness the first couple of days because it's always tied into St. Patrick's Day. And do you remember the year Mike Miller and the Florida Gators? They lost in the finals. I forget if it was to the Miles Simon Arizona team or who it was. Memory's going. But that run, I remember me and my friends, my buddy Bill Eppner, had an itinerary of the 7 bars we were going to all throughout the day and evening. Started at noon. And it went to 10 p.m. And then actually I went to the Orbit Room afterwards, which was like this funky jazz blues club, because I needed to wash myself of all the Irish music. So I'm like, give me something the opposite of that.
You went to the Orbit Room. Spirit of the West for the day?
Oh, my God. But you drink all day with your friends, and you're watching all the games, and you're invested, and you actually know about 20 players. And that's what you do at 23. At 42, I can name 2 guys, and one of them just because it's the white guy on Duke that everyone hates.
Right. So. And that's more of a symbolic role. He's not even like a player. He's more like a placeholder for Christian Laettner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Whom we'll always hate into perpetuity.
Yeah.
Yeah, college, it's funny. The NCAA tournament is, it's just the brackets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just gambling. It's just brackets. The brackets. Like, that's all it really is. Like, nobody really cares. Like, once you get to about the Elite Eight, unless you're a big fan, you start dropping off a little bit.
Absolutely.
Look, I'm so out. I'm in a music nerds bracket, and I don't know. I imagine they all suck, too. But But just when Arizona got blown, I got decimated. My bracket is in shambles already. So now I can just go back to cheering for Kentucky.
I don't even know who's in my bracket. I've already forgotten. I have no idea.
So where do you want to go? We should probably talk a little bit of sports because if
we just did, we're gonna get in the Leafs.
Yeah,
lots of thoughts on Leafs and the Raptors, who are going to beat Cleveland in six.
Oh man,
they're going to beat Cleveland in six.
Is Cleveland going to be the fourth seed though?
Right now they are.
I was watching last night. Now I'm starting to watch their games, right?
Because scouting, know thy opponent.
They are neck and neck for that third spot with Indiana, and we beat Indiana last night.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
So then you start looking at Cleveland going, okay, are they going to beat Portland? They did not. So they are still half a game behind. We would see them in the second round, which I honestly think, come on, fate. Don't be a jerk.
No.
Don't do this to us.
I'm fine with it. I am.
Not with Kevin Love back, you wouldn't
be. Well, we'll see. We'll see what version of Kevin Love you get. He's got had a fractured hand. And also, remember the first year of the Big Three in Miami? They didn't win at all. It took a little while to gel. Well, this Cleveland team, they got a new team a couple weeks ago. They're barely 500 with this group. And that Portland game on Thursday night, it totally encapsulates the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron had the crazy dunk. LeBron had the crazy numbers. And they lose by 8 or 9 to a good Portland team.
Okay, so you have a choice. It comes down to Matt's choice. In the second round, the Raptors face either the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Indiana Pacers.
Well, of course I'm taking the Indiana Pacers.
Of course you are. Of course you are. I don't care what happened last night in Portland. All I care about is, can Cleveland get that third seed so that either they or Boston knock one of the other off?
Obviously, that is the best case scenario. There is a bit of bravado here, and the reason is I'm making up for lost time. I've had no bravado all year. None. And you know what? When it started after the Houston win, a little bravado started to come in. But then the Pacers, they had 19 turnovers. Al Jefferson had a great game. He had a turn back the clock game. And the Raptors still overcame it to win against the third seeded Indiana Pacers, who's won 7 of 10, 3 in a row, and they did it again. And after the game, like, that's a damn good win. But every Raptor fan, just puff out your chest and embrace how awesome they are.
You and I have had this conversation.
We've
talked about this on the pod, how I am not in a position to enjoy the Raptors this year. I am too far down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. None of this is fun. Mm-hmm. I just want them to win so I can finally unclench my butt and sit properly because I am so uptight right now.
Not me.
All I saw last night was a bad game for Kyle Lowry. That's what I saw.
Really?
To tell you the truth, it was a pretty damn great final 8 minutes. Kyle Lowry has, like, we keep hoping that there's a switch he's going to flip, right? That he's somehow going to turn into this alpha.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Bob, right now, your trunks are tight. Me, no underwear. I am letting it all swing, and it is fantastic. And I'm going to tell you how good Kyle Lowry is.
Okay.
You saw, and you probably didn't get to watch the game play by play because you were up, you know, cottaging in Muskoka while the rest of us proletariat were slumming it here in Toronto. So I'm watching that game. There's a minute 50 left. The Raptors are up by 6. Ibaka just missed a 3-pointer. The ball is coming down. There's about 4 Pacers there, all ready to catch the ball. And suddenly, out of nowhere, Lowry sneaks in, grabs the ball, falls on his back, forces a loose ball foul on Corey Joseph, hits the 2 free throws. Now it's an 8-point game. And at that moment, I'm like, that is the Kyle Lowry that we love. That's the Kyle Lowry I think we're going to get. In that moment, it was my favorite moment from that game last night. Shout out to Kyle Lowry. They're going to be Cleveland in 6. I don't care. Bring them all on. You can get Cleveland, and you can put Boston, and you can put them together on a team. And Toronto, okay, that's going too far. I'm overcompensating.
No, I like it. I like it. You are the yin to my yang, right?
Yeah.
You're feeling way too good. I'm feeling way too nervous. The thing that's become obvious to me, though, is that all the things we said the Raptors don't have, they kind of do now. We felt like they could be out coached by Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is a better coach. Well, I'm not ready to say that about Dwayne Casey this year. He's playing great.
Yep.
That the Raptors don't have a superstar. Well, they do have a superstar. I think we're so used to calling DeMar. Here's what I realized why we can't just simply say DeMar's a superstar. Because nobody in the league becomes one later in their career.
Oh, yeah.
You're born into it. Mm-hmm. It's a legacy position.
It's old money.
It is old. It's old money. The ultimate in old money.
You're Giddy Oil. You know, you're you know, that's
born on third, thinks he hit a triple.
Yeah.
Like nobody enters the NBA without the kind of fanfare. I guess Kobe was drafted a little lower, but it was pretty quick, pretty obvious that he was going to be something special.
Yeah.
Nobody gets this far into their career and suddenly becomes a truly transcendent NBA player.
Mostly baseball is the main sport where this happens. A little bit in football with the Kurt Warner types, but baseball is the only one, maybe defenseman in hockey. But, you know, usually you know early on, and no sport more than the NBA.
That's a great point about defensemen in hockey, because that is their timetable. We're kind of used to it. So if you're, you know, Victor Hedman and you're 23, 24, you've played about 250 games, you're rounding into shape. Morgan Riley's done the same. He's become the player that everybody hoped he would be. That's their timetable. But in the NBA, basically, if you're not great or showing signs of greatness by the time you're 20.
Yeah.
Nobody believes you're ever going to be special.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Markelle Fultz, number one overall pick. They're like, that guy, get rid of him. And actually, yeah, we'll see. But
it's probably true.
It's probably true. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So DeMar might just be, like, and I'm guilty of this 100%. I was analyzing my own thoughts as to why I have such a hard time believing DeMar is a bona fide superstar. Because you can't win in the NBA without one.
Yeah.
But maybe we have one. Like, maybe this isn't... Like, even last pod, we talked about how the 2004 Pistons, that was the last example of a team like this. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe this is way more quintessential an NBA team, because it does have, you know, that apex predator at the top.
Let me ask you a question, Bob.
Okay, go for it.
In the spirit of the big question.
Okay.
How different would you feel about this NBA season and the Raptors if the Golden State Warriors did not exist?
I'd feel a lot better.
Yeah.
I'd still be worried about Houston, because I still think, even though Houston lost that game.
But you feel like that Toronto, they're not going to be the favorite, nor should they be. They're going to be the underdog. You do feel, yeah, they got a chance.
They got a chance.
Yeah.
My real hope for this year was that they would simply make the final, because I didn't think they were going to be able to compete against the West. And I still don't.
And by the way, that emotion there, that feeling there, which I have as well, I think if they got to the finals against Golden State, it's a gentleman's sweep. Toronto wins game three. Probably game four. But that feeling, that inevitability, is a governor to our basketball happy.
What does it mean to the city right now? What do the Raptors mean to the city? Because I know that we're supposed to be Leaf crazy.
Yeah.
But I feel, and you would probably feel this more closely because you do the morning show every morning, so you're more close to the pulse of the everyday news beat.
Yeah.
You know, I've been pretty divorced from that for a while.
Opened with Raptors today.
Yeah.
And the Leafs beat the Sabres 5-2, and it's not like there isn't things to talk about there. Curtis McElhaney, JVR's on fire. There's a bunch to talk about. But the Raptors doing that last night against Indiana, just a couple days after, less than a week after beating Houston and Cleveland being what they are right now, here's what's going to happen. Toronto needs to win game one of whatever playoff series they're facing. Because I'm going to, warning to iTunes right now, the first podcast we do, if the Raptors lose game one of a playoff series, I'm going to swear a lot.
We're going to figure out how to get that little E. You know, they put the E next to the podcast and you load it on iTunes to indicate there's explicit language.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a little box I can click when I'm uploading it. For that one, I will. But if the Raptors... If they win game one in the first playoff round, they win in five, this city will be going. They're going to go nuts anyway. It's a great basketball town, and we've seen the support. We know the support. But if they win that first round in five, I'm going to tell you, everyone's going to be walking around this city the way I sound right now, which, again, I'm just overcompensating for not being happier throughout the last 4 months.
Who's the team you least want to face in the first round?
It's Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's Milwaukee.
It's Milwaukee, just because it's Giannis.
That's it. It's unicorn factor.
Yeah.
I think Philly's a really good team. I think that they're on their way up.
Yep.
But I don't think that they can beat the Raptors. Not without a...
They don't have any playoffs yet. At the very least, Milwaukee, a lot of those guys, especially Giannis, they've gone through the playoffs once. This Philly team hasn't. And you can call it a cliche, but it's a weird thing about basketball, where youth is awesome. Except in the playoffs, where usually you take some lumps.
I think it comes down to the whistle. I think it's just the way it's called. You know, you're not allowed to be as gifted or skilled during, and this is true of most contact sports. They just start calling it tighter, and all of a sudden you gotta know how to fight through contact. You gotta know how to make things happen that before might have been gifted to you.
Yeah.
It's the same in every sport. All I know is this. All the things that we generally say you need to have in the playoffs to win. I mean, win big.
Yeah.
The Raptors now have.
Yeah, they do.
And the weird thing is, we didn't know they had them at the beginning of this year. And the NBA never works that way.
Here's the crazy thing with the Raptors. Think about this. After getting swept by Cleveland, it was culture reset, culture reset. Big changes. We need big changes. Masai Ujiri says changes are coming. All of that rhetoric was there. No one got fired. No one got traded. No one got moved. There were some cuts, but every year there's always going to be the trimming that you do.
Well, Corey Joseph, Patrick Patterson, yeah, PJ Tucker, even though he hadn't been here long.
He hadn't been here long, and he wasn't going to be here. It was a rental. But that, every team does that every year. But you, this team has transformed in 1 year, and it's the same coach and the same players. That feels to me pretty unique.
There are so many. We've talked about this. We've gone through the checklist of all the things that almost never happen in the NBA that are happening with this current Raptors.
Yeah.
You've got Jonas Valanciunas, who felt like he was like a stiff, slow five.
Yeah.
In a game where, if you know, you can't play perimeter D.
Felt like the game passed him by. Was passing him by. 100%.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, like over the last 20 games, who the hell is this guy?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, my team in the NCAA bracket, because you have to have a good name for your team or else what the hell's the point?
Yep.
Do you have a name for your team?
No.
I'll share mine right
now. Okay, what's yours?
JV in the corner.
JV in the corner.
No, sorry, JV from the corner.
Okay, yeah. That's funny.
That's a nerdy name.
That is a very nerdy name.
Nerdy name. I figure, you know what, that's a barrier to entry kind of name. If someone gets it, they're in.
Well, he went from averaging 0 3-pointers a game to now 1, which might not seem like a lot, but that's massive. That's massive. That's going from shooting 8 in a year to shooting 90. So that's massive.
I'm mostly excited about his rebounding, though. He's really been tenacious. And you're noticing how we see in the end of the games more. Like,
Seeing him in the games is a huge thing.
This whole idea that Serge Ibaka is going to have to play the 5 to close out games, which was something we worried about at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that's true anymore.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. I trust. It's funny. Ibaka was the guy who was trying to be the missing piece. I feel more comfortable with Valanciunas on the floor than I do Ibaka.
Most impressive / surprising bench player for you this year?
That's easy. It's Fred VanVleet. It's Fred VanVleet because it also goes on trust factor. When he shoots a 3, I'm like, good. And I'm like, I'm hopeful it's going to go in. Versus last year with Patterson, you're like, oh, God, here we go. Fred VanVleet.
I'm going to go Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
Just because every team needs that. You know, we had Jorge Garbajosa for so long.
Yeah.
And we're never able to replace him after that horrible leg injury.
Yep.
And it feels like Pascal Siakam is finally that guy who's pretty big. He can rebound. He plays defense. He hustles endlessly. And there just seems to be, like, look, I'm not an intangibles guy. You know this. I'm more of a tangibles guy. But it just seems like when he's in the game, there is a lift to this team that is hard to explain other than I think they just like playing with him.
Energy osmosis. Energy. He's out there.
And energy transfer.
Yeah. And then everyone else does because you don't want to be dogging it if you see the guy next to you is like going all out. So there's part of that. It's osmosis / shaming.
All right. So big question. Are we going to go get scalpers tickets for any of these games at the ACC?
Because
you and I have done that before.
Yeah,
and that was when we both used to drink, but I quit. So yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen. But you and I have had a few.
Yeah.
And then wandered over the ACC to get scalpers tickets.
Yep.
And it's always fun.
Mm-hmm. It is fun.
We got to do that this year, though, right?
It's got to be one of those, like, because it's the Raptors, so they'll be on at 11 a.m. on a Saturday.
Is it like Saturday morning cartoons?
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to be on opposite the Laugh Olympics?
It's basically like we interrupt your G.I. Joe rerun for the Toronto Raptors.
I got a good sidebar, but you finish your point and then we can sidebar.
Yeah. And also the great thing with that is there's nothing better than Saturday playoff game plus day drinking. Because day drinking goes through a couple stages. This is a great idea. This, I'm invincible. Oh, God, what have I done? But until you get to the, oh, God, what have I done? Which happens like 7 hours down after you crack open your first drink. No, I love the idea.
The last time I drank was actually a day drink, and it was with the TSN 1050 crew. We were at some kind of Saturday morning retreat.
Yes.
Remember, we had to do some kind of thing that brought in a consultant to talk to everybody?
Yeah, the most recent one was just a little while ago.
Oh, okay. So I missed that one because I was fired.
Yeah.
But I was there, and then everyone went out afterwards, and I had no intention of drinking.
No, I got you drunk.
You did.
Well,
it's, you did.
You said, "Oh, well, Matt, what wine are you drinking?" Oh, okay, that's good. Well, what else do you recommend? All right, try this. And you didn't have a lot. You maybe had like three or four glasses.
But you know what else I didn't have?
Food.
Exactly.
Or experience in drinking that much wine.
No. I believe me. I've been around. This is not my first rodeo.
Recent experience.
No, that's not it. I think what really was go back to the first point, which was I didn't have any lunch.
Yeah, because it starts at 10 a.m. and then at noon you go to the open bar.
Oh, and they always serve the worst food at these retreats. They always like pickle barrel sandwiches, which are kind of okay, I guess.
But actually, what are you talking about? The food's not bad. Don't blame
it. It was terrible.
You know what?
It's always terrible. It's like a box of old stale Timbits.
Nachos and wings are never bad.
Oh, yeah, but that's not what we had when we got there.
I think you were just that drunk.
Maybe that's true. Anyway, quick sidebar.
Yeah.
You know what's the problem with today's universe? Mm. Saturday morning cartoons don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
Because kids today have the internet, and they can watch it whatever the hell they want. The on-demand generation will never know the joy of the Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Because you maybe could watch a little bit after school, like some, right? Like TVO would have some, like, Brainiac cartoons. Mm-hmm. But there weren't, like, cartoon channels.
Oh, no. Oh, absolutely. Like, also, like, I remember the only cartoons was from, four to 5 o'clock. There was G.I. Joe and Transformers. But that would be it. And you're right.
And in the morning, you could watch TVO or Sesame Street or something.
But that was really trash stuff, like Today's Special or,
Read-along with Boot.
Reading Rainbow and all that crap. But you're right. The problem is, kids today, and this is going to sound... Don't take this out of context because it's going to be creepy.
All right.
Kids today don't get to enjoy foreplay as much as when we were children.
There were so many other ways you could have made the same point.
Nope. I'm going with
that
one.
So many others.
Children today, it's just bang, 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 bang. It's just however much you want to gorge on cartoons, you can get it on your phone, on YouTube, on Comedy Channel. You get all the things in front of you. You know what you don't get? You don't get to wait. You don't get to anticipate.
The other thing is, because you're big into the waiting and the anticipating, mostly because you always get what you want, so waiting and anticipating for you is just part of the fun.
It's fantastic. Oh,
look, I don't have what I want. I must be waiting to get what I want.
Wait. Oh, opportunity is knocked. I got what I wanted.
You know who doesn't like waiting? People who don't get everything they want.
Yeah, that would suck.
That would suck.
Tell me about that, Papa.
So you finally get to Saturday morning, and it's like the lunatics are running the asylum because all the major channels all of a sudden only have cartoons on.
Yeah.
It's as though an 8-year-old all of a sudden was in charge of the universe. Mm-hmm. It's genius. You had Super Friends, the Laugh Olympics, what was the one where they competed against each other? Anyway. The Great Grape Ape.
Yep. All of them.
And Captain Caveman.
Captain Caveman!
Who I actually look like now.
Yeah, you actually do kind of a little bit. If you go back and look at the writing, I imagine it's pretty lazy. You know what it's also like, we're going to continue on the sidebar, is Christmas movies. You had them once a year. You knew when they were on. I knew when A Christmas Carol was going to be on. I was excited for it because it was on once. And unless you recorded it on your VHS machine, and it's never great quality, and VHS quality lasted about a month, and then you would tape over it by mistake. And then it was gone. And then you had to wait till next year. Now it's just YouTube. Everything's right there in front of you.
You know what cracks me up? Mm. When movies aren't really Christmas movies, but they try to tack something Christmassy into them because all of a sudden they're being released at Christmas. I went to go see Jumanji, the Dwayne Johnson movie.
Yep.
And it had nothing to do with Christmas. Nothing until like the last 3 minutes where all of a sudden there were wreaths on doors. And I thought, I just turned to my wife. I said, reshoots. They thought this was coming out in the summer.
And then just suddenly there's a wreath.
All
in the
of
background.
A sudden, oh yeah, holiday, good feelings, good cheer.
Yeah, just put a little Bing Crosby on the end.
Right. Well, since we're talking about snow and ice, do you want to get onto the Leafs?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, one other thought.
I got a rosterbation.
Okay.
If I can get into it.
Of course.
Inappropriately rosterbating in front of you.
All right. Before we get to that, and we can do this maybe next week. Because you were just talking about movies and how with Jumanji, how they changed some things. I was watching The Professional, Leon the Professional
with Natalie Portman.
What's her face? She won the best.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman. Yeah. Thank you. They need to do a sequel. She's now grown up. All the lessons she learned from The Professional. Now she's The Professional.
Do you want to do a spontaneous top five?
Well, see, I was thinking, I don't know if
best women assassin movies.
See, my top five was top five movies that need a sequel. Because The Professional needs part two.
How many movies really need a sequel?
Shaun of the Dead.
Does it need one? Oh, look, I don't want to do that one just because I'm not a believer that movies need sequels. I like the idea of a self-contained universe.
Wouldn't
that
you like to
continue.
See Natalie Portman now all grown up, all the lessons she learned from Leon, and now she is the assassin?
It is a pretty good idea. I'll give you that. But as topics go, I'm more excited by female assassins than I am by sequels.
Gina Davis, Long Kiss Goodnight. Got to be near the top of the list.
I would have to say, geez, what's that German movie again?
Atomic Blonde?
No, but I heard that was really good.
Atomic Blonde's really good.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to need some time to think about
this.
All
right, why don't we do it
next week?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we'll do favorite female assassins. My favorite is always going to be Elektra. Mm-hmm. I love Elektra from the Marvel comics. Oh,
I never got into that one. Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will watch that movie at any moment it's on, at any point I happen to jump in.
I bet that movie is not certified fresh.
It is not good. It is not a good movie.
All right.
But she's one of my favorite characters. Okay, so let's talk about the Leafs' rosturbation.
Sure.
I hate it when people lose their spot because of injury. Like, mm-hmm. That's one of the creepy things about modern sports. But with Zaitsev out, isn't it clear that when he returns, he should just play with Dermott and Carrick should play with Gardner and we should all move happily into the playoffs that way? Because Dermott seems to be able to make anybody play better.
Yep.
And Zaitsev playing that, you know, he's not a top four guy right now. Maybe he's just still, you know, recuperating from his injury. Maybe he's just not that guy.
Maybe he's just having a bad year. He's got a kid. Who knows?
But going into the playoffs, wouldn't you rather see Carrick alongside Gardner than Zaitsev? And don't you think that Dermott could help Zaitsev look better?
Here's my only problem with that. I want Travis Dermott to play more minutes. I want him to more than bottom two pairing minutes. I'd like him closer to 20.
Yeah, but you know the problem with that. Mm. Whose minutes is he taking? He plays on the left side, and Babcock's not going to put him on the right side. So whose minutes is he taking?
Yeah, no, okay. It's fair point. Yeah, no. Everything you say makes sense. Because let's face it, everything still comes down to this. Only the Rangers and the Islanders have allowed more shots allowed. Even when they beat Buffalo, Buffalo still peppered McElhinney with 42 shots. I don't have the stats in front of me about how many were high-quality chances, but still, nonetheless, the Leafs in those sorts of categories, the neighborhood they hang out in is a neighborhood that you don't want to live. You want to go find the gentrified one that has the Asian fusion restaurant next to the LCBO, next to the drugstore, and looks like Liberty Village. Because right now where the Leafs are hanging out, they're hanging out with all the non-playoff teams in terms of the shot numbers.
Where you want to be is you want to be at Park Place. Right now they're at Baltic Avenue.
Yeah.
And you want to be at Boardwalker Park Place.
Yeah, your analogy is better.
Also, I was cottaging.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, so everybody, can you ever get to a cottage and not play Monopoly? Like, does anybody ever play Monopoly at home?
All right. Everybody right now listening, we will be back to the Leafs in just mere moments. This is not my fault. This is Bob's fault. Couple thoughts.
Okay.
First, I now try to avoid Monopoly for one reason. It's so freaking long.
It takes so long.
And when you play Monopoly, in the end, what happens? The one person who starts to, you know, start winning, start accumulating, everyone else, they just want to, like, okay, can we just, I just want to quit. And the person who's winning is like, no, we got to finish this out because they want to feel their wins legit. When everyone else is like, it's been 3.5 hours. I'm tired of Monopoly.
You know what it's like? You ever remember those old newsreel footages from the 50s of dance-a-thons? Mm-hmm. And people would be standing there just weaving back and forth and they want to sit down, but they can't because then they're out of the competition.
Yeah.
People are drooping on the floor.
We're here at the bar room sucks, see? Oh, it's the dance contest. The winner gets $25.
You're 100% right, though. There's something so unsatisfying about crushing your opponents and then seeing they don't care anymore.
They don't care.
And you've worked hours and hours to get to a place where you can lord it over them.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
The problem with that is if you're going to take joy from you winning, they need to take anger and anguish from losing. They must be pissed off that they lost to the same level of emotion that you care that you won, and they've taken that away from you.
But we agree that nobody plays Monopoly in the city.
No.
It is literally a country game.
Yeah.
Like country farm fresh eggs.
Yeah.
Monopoly.
Also, I do remember seeing you at that time. Oh, no. You guys were married then. You and Sandra just getting into a massive, not massive, but a more than a bicker playing Scrabble up at the cottage.
No. It wasn't a fight at all. We're really intense people. We're very competitive.
Okay. That's the words you use. I was sitting there as well. And it wasn't like, oh, no, mom and dad are fighting because daddy's drinking. It wasn't that level, but it was a little bit like, oh, God, There's a little heat going on right here.
She's so frustrating because she's so much smarter than I am. I'm that guy who always wants to make the awesome word.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll hold on to it and save it and save it. And it kind of, it happens or it doesn't.
You've got dreams of xylophone in your head.
100%. Whereas my wife figured out and explained to me a long time ago, it's a math game. It's not a word game. It's a math game.
Yeah.
It's about trying to figure out how to maximize points, not trying to figure out how to impress the chicks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just
basically, I was the beach muscles version of Scrabble.
Yeah. You got the act. You got the X. Do tax.
Right.
And you get that on a double word. There's 24 points, and you did very little work for it.
100%, Matt.
Yeah.
100%.
Just the one lesson. Save the S. If you use your S in your first couple turns, get out of here. You're a rookie. I don't want to even see anymore.
All right. So JVR scores a pair last night.
Yeah.
And he had the hat trick the night before. So mm-hmm. 5 goals, 2 games. Very nice. 31 goals. And they did a great board on TSN the other night where they just showed his last 5 years. And with the exception of when he was hurt,
yeah,
he's always between 25 and 30 goals. He has money in the bank. He looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And can he play himself into a contract with the Leafs at this point? Can he make himself indispensable? Because you look at that and say, he may not be, he may be the one that got away.
The only way he can play himself into a Leaf contract is if against Montreal on Saturday, he tears his Achilles, becomes damaged goods, and the Maple Leafs take a chance on him. Because the way he's playing now, there's going to be that team 6 to 7 years, $6.5-ish million, and the Leafs are going to look at Morgan Riley and Nylander and Marner and Matthews, and they're going to realize, we can't. We'd love to keep them, but the Blackhawks lost Dustin Byfuglien, and they won after that. So, no, enjoy this moment. It's like you're dating, when you're young, you're dating a girl way beyond your league, and you know that when summer ends, she's going to go back to her football boyfriend who was just a jerk in July. And you know, come September, you're going to be single again. Enjoy August.
I tend to agree with you, Maddie. And knowing how lucky the Leafs got with Riley's contract and how lucky they got with Kadri's contract.
Oh, the Kadri one.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that you could, you know, dial that one up 3 times a winner. I think sometimes you just have to accept that this guy's going to go and make a fortune for somebody else.
Yeah, 100%.
But boy, just his ability in close, like, to...
One of the goals, the second
goal the other night.
12 feet away. It was actually a shot. It wasn't just...
Who was out there? Brett Hull?
Oh, I know. He was like whacking in front of the net like a lumberjack. Oh, yeah. And also, give more credit. Again, you're at a cottage, and I want to bring this up, you with cottages and sports, but on the Bozak power play goal that made it 4-1, he had a great pass. So, you know, so nice assist there as well.
I was watching this and thinking, I was a big proponent of trading him at the deadline.
Yeah.
And... I still think I would have done that simply because of the haul that because of the haul you would have gotten. But since he is going to be on the playoff roster, you might as well have him pissed a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Love it.
If he's going to be around, like, why have him just be a cagey veteran? Let's have him be a cagey veteran who's going to score close to 40 goals.
Yep. We're going to get back to Leafs in 1 second. I'm curious.
Okay.
How much sports, because you were up in Huntsville-ish area, Deerhurst, for 4 nights. How much sports were you able to watch?
A fair amount because, you know, we have 3 televisions in 3 rooms. Mm-hmm. It's a rental unit.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere you can go and there's not a TV there.
All right. So is there any problem because you're on vacation, trees, woods, water?
No, because I get it done during the day.
Leafs and stuff. Okay.
I get it done during the day. I hike every day and sports every night.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's kind of my perfect existence, really.
Was your wife and child, were they awake by the 3rd period of either the Leaf games?
Are you kidding? They never sleep.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, Charlotte probably still hasn't gone to bed from yesterday. No, they never sleep. Everybody's good. Plus, also, the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. my wife knows that this is important to me.
Yeah.
Like, this is, for whatever bizarre reason... Something, you know, kind of like you and your buddies in the Ditka and the NFL draft.
Yeah. Because
for whatever reason, the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament, I try to watch as much as possible. So it was all cool.
My biggest criticism of the Maple Leafs this past week,
mm-hmm.
it's not about the team.
Really?
Nope. It's about game ops. You probably didn't see this because, again, I was watching just closer. On the game against the Dallas Stars, I'm looking on Twitter. And on the left side of the screen, you know, the trending. One of the things that's trending was Michael J. Fox. And I'm like, oh, no. Because earlier that day, I saw trending Stephen Hawking. And he passed away. And that's how I found out. It's like I found out everything. It's by Twitter. So I'm like, oh no, Michael J. Fox, what happened? Please let it not be death or Me Too or Time's Up or something. And then I click on it. And what was it? He was at the ACC. Got a standing ovation. And everyone's tweeting, oh my God, Michael J. Fox is here. But they showed a screen grab of the Jumbotron. Michael J. Fox. I have a picture of him or him there in the stands. His name. And below it, it said Canadian actor. No bleep. You did not need to write Canadian actor. You either put nothing, you put legend, or you put Alex P. Keaton. Those are the only options you put.
You know, for our generation, that's true. But I bet there's a lot of people out there who have no idea who he is because he was super famous when we were younger.
Oh, yeah.
But he hasn't done anything really in the public eye in 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
He's done charity work, obviously.
Charity work, bit parts. When he's been on Curb Your Enthusiasm, he's hilarious. But yeah, no, he's not in the spotlight.
All right. So here's a tough one.
Yeah.
Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah.
Marty McFly. Greater character.
I'm going to go with Alex P. Keaton. Because you had the episode where it was just him talking to the psychiatrist when a friend of his died, and that was a really deep episode. Or the other time when he had to combat with his drunk uncle played by Tom Hanks.
Uncle Ned. Whom I fondly refer to you as.
Yes.
You're my Uncle Ned. Wasn't he drinking real lemon out of the... or vanilla?
I don't know what he was.
I think it was vanilla he was drinking out of Elisa's fridge.
I don't think I'm at that level yet. But I'm going to go, and it's a tough one, but I think there was more emotional range from Alex P. Keaton when he fell in love with the first girl, and he was at the train stop and in his tuxedo, and he left the party. So I'm going to go Alex P. Keaton, but I love Marty McFly.
All right, so I love Alex P. Keaton, and I'm going to go with Marty McFly, and I'm going to use one of your old tricks, which is degree of difficulty, which I know is important to you.
Yes.
It is very hard in a film to create a character that people really gravitate towards just mm-hmm. because you only have 2 hours with them and the spectacle is really big. We tend to generate, we generally love plots in yeah. movie or special effects, but it's pretty hard to love a character. TV, on the other hand, is created so that you fall in love with characters. They're in your home every week. You okay. see them for multiple years.
Fair enough.
But in 2 hours, he made Marty McFly a thing.
Yes.
And then the next two movies aren't even really that good. But they're okay. They're not great.
I think the second one's actually kind of underrated. Kind of a dark movie. It's okay. Like The Empire Strikes Back of the series.
It's kind of cool that way, or Batman Returns yeah. or something like that. But my point is, Marty McFly, I think, became more of a... The fact that he was a cultural icon playing that character and he had 6 hours to do it in, mm-hmm. that to me is more amazing.
Okay, it's a great theory by you. My only pushback is you're wearing a vest like Marty McFly in the first Back to the Future. So I feel like you're a little biased because of fashion.
Ah, man, he was so great. What a funny, awesome, great actor.
Yep,
Michael absolutely. And you know what? It's funny you say that. Like funny in a kind of dark, sequel-y kind of way. That as soon as you see someone's name trending on Twitter, your first thought is always,
"Yeah, oh no,
they're
oh
dead
no.
or what did they do?"
Yeah, exactly. It's never, they just got more awesome, you know?
just letting everybody know things yeah. are going great.
Yeah, it's like when the Blue Jays are trending, it's, oh, now it's a prospect who's been suspended for 80 games, or it's Donaldson fighting with Gibbons about his injury, or it's Marcus Stroman's upset.
It's the one that really jumped out at me. I saw Stroman when he got hurt a couple weeks back, and I saw his name was trending. It's just like,
Yeah. By the way, a couple shout-outs I want to give.
Yeah.
First, Seat Giant. Okay. Bob, we're going to do a top five a little bit later on. And it was recommended by a fellow that we know well that I'll get into.
Okay.
About top five events that for this summer that we should use Seat Giant for.
Oh, okay. So is this like paid programming here?
No. Because like what concerts would you want to go to in Toronto? It's a public service announcement.
This sounds suspiciously like an infomercial.
Shh. Anyway, Seat Giant, though, I don't care if it is an infomercial. Guess what? Time now.
Wow, that Bacardi-sponsored party looks so much fun.
Listen, I'm going to give you now a little PSA. Don't think of this as an infomercial. This is a PSA. Hey, kids, are you tired of having to use math? Oh, I know I am. Have you ever had to buy a ticket and you're like, only $43? That's great. Then you find out later, it was in American dollars. Shame on you, Ticketmaster. Well, those days are over because we got Seat Giant. We got seatgiant.ca. And this group, all the tickets, guaranteed legitimate. But more than that, they're in Canadian dollars. No longer are you going to be rooked out of your money. So for all concert tickets, sporting events, whatever it is, and this company, 100% Canadian owned and operated. And it's even better. You want to save some money? Who doesn't? Let's say you want to eventually go cottaging in Deerhurst. That ain't cheap. You need to scrimp and save. Seatgiant.ca. Go to the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout. You'll save money. We get a little money on the back end. It's win-win. Seatgiant.ca. Discount code Bob and Matt.
Funny you say that, Matty. That's a good promo, by the way.
Thank
but
you.
The whole idea of cottaging up in the Muskokas.
Yeah. See how I weaved it in?
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Pollock, our lawyer, yep, and also a sponsor of this podcast, was excited because he got his first referral client from Macko and Cause.
Woo!
And was suggesting, hey, why don't we go to Jacob's? Because you ate at Jacob's the other week. He said, why don't we all go there to celebrate? And I was thinking, oh, I don't know, Jeffrey. Like, one of us is a lawyer and one of us is starting a small, scrappy little Canadian production company with three partners. I don't know if I'm going to Jacob's, unless Jacob's is code for Wendy's.
Oh, Wendy's. I hope Wendy's.
Wendy's has a good burger. I don't kid yourself.
I hope Wendy's is code for our server. Her name is Wendy, and she's going to be the one bringing over the steak tartare.
What's the most upscale fast food? I kind of feel like it's Wendy's. Swiss Chalet doesn't count because their prices have gone up so much they're not fast food anymore.
I guess, yeah, Chipotle? No.
Chipotle?
Chipotle. I'm going to screw that up.
The thing about Wendy's is you can get a burger, but you can also get the baked potato with cheese and broccoli. Like, that's fancy.
Okay, that is. Yeah, you're right. Once baked potato and then broccoli is thrown in. Yeah, you're right. That is a little bit.
It's not a lot of places where you can get broccoli, cheese, baked potatoes, and something called a Baconator.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Okay, you know, I'll go with Wendy's.
I like Wendy's. I was a Harvey's guy for a long time, but I think I've made the switch over to Wendy's.
Okay, I can buy that. Speaking of Jeff Pollock, he's actually the one that threw out the idea. Top five events to use Seat Giant for this summer.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Concerts, let's say game seven of the Raptors in the... Actually, they're not even going to get to a game seven, but like a game five against Cleveland when they eliminate the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. I know, we're all knocking on wood.
I'm knocking on wood.
And here's the thing about Jeff Pollock.
Okay, do you want to do this or do you want to do the game where I throw something out and you got to compare them to...
All right, yep, do the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
The NCAA tournament. Jeff Pollock is like the NCAA tournament. Go, Matt.
Let me tell you how Jeff Pollock is like the NCAA tournament. Both of them are a ton of fun. And by the way, both of them are things you're not going to need very often. March Madness comes along once a year. If you've got a good lawyer, you're not going to need that lawyer very much. You know why? Because Jeff Pollock is one of the best at making sure to settle, making sure that you are not dragged out into a long court case, whether it's litigation, states or trust, corporate, commercial, or real estate law. This man will get the trial done early. Or better yet, it's not even going to go to trial. So just like March Madness, fun only happens once. Jeff Pollock, you're only going to be with him for a little time, and it's good. You're going to have fun. And it's a small little family group. I mean, I met his family's kids, Daniel, Elizabeth, and Alexandra. These are really nice, super polite kids. The kind of kids where if you're a parent, you're like, why aren't my kids as nice as this kid? And it's not just about Jeff Pollock. His wife is also now part of the law firm. Again, she deals with all the taxes and all those sorts of things. And here we go. Actually, she said I did a pretty good job with her name last time. And again, Evgenia Pollock is his wife's name, and she is a whiz with the numbers. JeffPollock.com, 416-777-0088. That's 416-777-0088. JeffPollock.com. He's our lawyer. He should be your lawyer.
I was going to give you a B-, but then you kept going, and you didn't run out of steam.
Hold on.
They're both fun. Okay. It's pretty weak.
Was weak, but... How they only come around for a very short period of time.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Then you rattled through all the different kinds of lawyer and services that he can offer. Litigation, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was pretty impressed with that. Okay, final question on this Jeff Pollock thing.
Yeah.
If he was a university or college currently in the NCAA tournament, which one would he be? Because I have a theory for this.
Okay.
Can I go first?
Of course you can.
Butler.
All right.
He's a mid-major that always seems to have results and in the end just graduates winner after winner. Your case is a winner, just like Brad Stevens and all the other Butler Bulldogs that have made their way through. It's a small family-run operation that just seems to be able to compete with the big boys.
Yours is better than mine. Mine is Duke. Why? Because I can name Duke.
You really are out of the game, aren't you?
I'm so out of the game.
Speaking of, okay, do you got any more sports? Because
No.
There's no point in trying to tell somebody they should like a sport that they don't.
Yeah.
It is a fool's game. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, Maddie, if you have it in your heart even a little bit to start watching TFC, it's a pretty good time to jump on board.
I saw what they did in the CONCACAF against the Tigres, moving on to the semifinals against
Club America.
Club America. Dear Mexico, why do you need to be so vague? Club America? Who do you think you are?
I like that name. It's got a kind of a Scarface feel to it.
It's got a South Park feel to it. Team America. Bleep, yeah.
You're really determined not to have any swears in this one, aren't you? You've been using bleep and,
I like bleep.
And the spaces.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saving it for the Raptors lose game one. TFC, I know.
That was the win of the week.
What's that?
That was the win of the week. As fun as it was watching the Raptors beat the Pacers, as fun as it was watching the Leafs come back against Dallas, and that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That nothing beat that CONCACAF quarterfinal second leg. Nothing. That was incredible.
Bob, the match started at 10 o'clock. I have to wake up at 4:30. I didn't watch any of it.
But you've obviously seen the free kick that Giovinco curled in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was a hell of a kick. Boy, how great. I know you didn't watch, but did you at least see
I saw it.
Okay, did you see the Tigres head coach and how angry he looked?
Oh, yeah.
We need more coaches to look that disappointed in his team.
All right, Bob, now it's time for me to ask you a difficult question.
Oh, okay.
Who's got a better stink face? Who has the better face that looks like, who ripped that fart in the elevator? And I'm going to give you three options.
All right.
Old Man Winter of the coach for Tigres.
Yep.
Mike Babcock,
mm-hmm,
or Ken Hitchcock. Because on Monday, they had dueling stink faces. Kadri scores the one because it goes off Lettinen's stick. They're up 2-0. Dallas then scores the next four goals. And Mike Babcock looked pissed.
I'm going to go with Ken Hitchcock just because I love Ken Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll go down this rabbit hole for a second, right?
Yeah.
Could there be two coaches more different from each other, both of high quality, though, both excellent coaches, than Mike Babcock and Ken Hitchcock? Mike Babcock looks like he's always on his way to a real estate seminar where he's going to talk to you about how you can be a winner.
Yeah, he's going to tell you how you can make more money from your own home.
Ken Hitchcock doesn't look like
that. Does not look like Ken. You know what? I'm going to steal from the Dan Le Batard show. They use this to describe Andy Reid. You know what Ken Hitchcock looks like?
Hmm.
He looks like the guy at the office when someone brings in donuts and he twinkles his fingers and goes, "Don't mind if I do."
Le Batard's amazing because that's a great description. And Andy Reid is actually a pretty good football equivalent to Ken Hitchcock.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that he's in charge of these athletes and they're all like Terminators,
mm-hmm,
one after the other, engineered for high performance.
Yeah.
And he always looks like he's on his way to an insurance seminar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love Ken Hitchcock, so I'm going to go with him, although the best stink face is clear. I don't know the guy's name, but the Tigres head coach.
Yeah.
And the fact he had a white zip-up tracksuit on.
It was great.
Oh, it was great. He just looked like, with 15 minutes left to go, after they scored that the third goal,
mm-hmm,
it was like, no.
Yeah.
I got no time for these guys. Yeah, they're all idiots. Everyone's fired. You're cut.
It was fun. Like, I love the cutaway after the two goals scored by TFC. And you're right, it's a hell of a moment. I mean, you've got in this city Giovinco, Donaldson, Austin Matthews, DeMar DeRozan. A lot of star power.
You realize, like, that is the ultimate four-pack question, which is, which athlete of those right now owns the city most?
Owns the city? I mean, just the default's Matthews. The default is Matthews because, you know, the getting of Matthews was really the linchpin to what's going on right now. And the thing is, we've never had the Leafs haven't had that since Doug Gilmore. The Blue Jays have had other stars. TFC, the reach, while it's impressive, is not at the same level. And DeMar DeRozan isn't at that same. Well, I mean, I guess it kind of is.
I personally think DeMar.
Yeah.
DeMar is the guy right now. He's having his moment. There was also his article going back a few weeks, the one that inspired Kevin Love to write about just his own struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so amazing on so many levels. Austin Matthews might wind up being a great player. I mean, he's a great player now, but I mean a great capital G player. But he's not that now.
The most impressive story is DeMar DeRozan. And that one, I have no pause. I do not pause on that.
No question. He seems to embody a lot of the values that we have, the idea of the underdog, the guy who worked himself into success, you know.
Yeah.
Like he's not old money. No. DeMar DeRozan is not NBA old man.
He is startup money. He is Silicon Valley.
He's VC.
He started. He just started an app that everyone is now using. That's DeMar DeRozan.
By the way, did you listen to Chris Bosh talking to
Bill Simmons?
Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah.
And like Bill Simmons asked him, so did Vince tank it? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, he
tanked it. Finally, somebody to just come out and say what was blatantly obvious to everybody who watched those seasons, and particularly that last one. Yeah. He sucked because he checked out.
Yes.
Can we get rid of this idea that we are supposed to retire his number? Let's not. You know, this is always.
Love it. Go, Bob. Go.
I was so angry when I heard that. Not because he said it, because I know it's true that he tanked. But I was so glad Bill Simmons said all this revisionist history around Vince. Ah, he's a great guy. Ah, he's had a hell of a career. He quit.
Yes.
He quit on his team. Yep. What is the one thing you are not allowed to do if you are an athlete? Mm-hmm. You don't quit on your team. Yes. Doesn't matter if you hate your coach, doesn't matter if you hate your owner, get your agent to get a crowbar and get you the hell out of there, but do it in the off season.
Yes.
Do not go out and lay a turd at half court because you don't like your surroundings. You suck.
Yes. Bravo, Bob. I love
that.
You feel better?
That felt so good.
You feel good, Bob?
Seriously.
Oh, I love it because we're almost out of time. I'm glad you got that out.
Thanks, man.
And yeah, you're right. Kyrie Irving did it the right way. Was a suck and caused all sorts of issues in the offseason and got traded before the start of the year. That's how you do it, not the way Vince did it.
You know, Kyrie went out and had a great year and then an even better playoffs.
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, you guys are talking about getting rid of me?
Yeah.
Great. I get rid of you.
Yeah, 100%.
Dump me? No.
Dump.
I dumped you.
Yeah. Bob?
Yeah, buddy.
Well, that's about it. We are...
We're wrapping up here, man. Yeah, we're wrapping up. A weird sort of adrenaline rush after that freak out on Vince.
I always love the Vince point. Also, it's apparently National Panda Day.
Is it?
So for everyone that loves animals or who works at a zoo or studying it, here is the key with the panda. You want to put a dry rub on, leave it outside for a couple hours to let it soak in, and then when you cook at a low temperature for a long period of time. You want the panda meat to drop off the bone.
You eat horse, right?
I've tried horse.
Yeah. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Remember that time we went to the French restaurant? I was going to eat the cheval, because if you call it cheval, it feels French and not like horse.
Yeah, like venison.
I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
So weird, eh? So arbitrary. It's not like I think I'm some kind of hero for not doing it. I actually think I'm kind of a suck.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't eat horse. I've had horse once. Eat horse is like, what do you want? I'll have a horse sandwich. It's a Wednesday. Why not? Do you want horse? I want two horses.
What'd you have for lunch? An HLT. Yeah.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.